Call the meeting to order. Please silence all electronic devices. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Angolia.
Here.
Vice Chair Drake.
Yes, ma'am.
Morning, brother.
Republican Committee Wilt Beltran.
Here, sir.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers. Representatives Barnaby.
Here.
Brown. Daly.
Here.
DeSegley.
Here.
Fabricio.
Here.
Geller.
Here.
Haig.
Here.
Latvala.
Here.
Maggard.
Here.
McClure.
Here.
Nixon. Umphrey is excused. Blakin. Placencia. Rodriguez.
Present.
Placencia. Rodriguez.
Present.
Rommel.
Here.
Schoaf.
Here.
Slotsberg.
Here.
Tomko.
Here.
Will Height. A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Let the record reflect that a quorum is present. Members, we have two bills on the agenda today. One bill has a lot of speakers, so I'm just going to set the expectations. We're going to take up PCS for CS for House Bill 305 right now. I know there are a lot of people that are planning on speaking. I want to make sure that I get in all of your comments, but we do have, we are on a limited time schedule. So what we're going to do is we're going to start off by limiting comments to about 2 minutes. It is going to be important that you be as precise as possible, because I really do not want to be put into the situation where we're cutting off speakers at the end. I want to make sure everyone gets their comments in. So actually, at this point, we see the first bill sponsor is here, so we're going to segue and take up, members, we're going to take up CS for House Bill 317 by Rep. Caruso regarding public accountancy. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, members. I ran. I'm a CPA by trade. I think you all know that.
That's funny.
I was featured in CPA Today with Senator Gruters and Representative Stevenson.
Give him a break.
But
this bill.
But not in running or
not in a running magazine. Outfit. This bill stipulates non-resident CPA renewal requirements, outlines continuing professional education requirements for ethics, and makes a technical language correction in the statutes. That is the bill, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
He needs a Gatorade.
Members, are there any questions? That is not the question of what is your time in the 100-yard dash. Any questions of the bill sponsor? Showing none. I see you have an amendment. You are recognized to explain and introduce Amendment 1.
Yes, Chair. Thank you. The amendment takes out the retired status from the bill. It was deemed unnecessary, as recommended from committee staff. That is the amendment.
Members, any questions on the amendment? Showing no questions, public testimony. Is that on the amendment? Okay. No public testimony on the amendment. Members are in debate. Any debate? Showing no debate, you are recognized to waive close. Having waived close, all in favor of adoption of Amendment 1, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Show the amendment adopted. We are back on the bill as amended. We're in public testimony on the bill as amended. Justice Justin Thames, Florida Institute of Certified Public Accountants, waiving its support. Members, we are in debate on the bill as amended. Any questions on debate as bill? Any debate on the bill as amended? Showing none, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Normally, I do the 100 in about 11 and a half seconds. Today, I did the 440 in about 9. So with that, I close.
Having closed, the question now occurs on CS for House Bill 317. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Drake.
Yes.
Republican Committee Wilt Beltran.
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers.
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby.
Yes.
Brown. Daly.
Yes.
DeSegley.
Yes.
Fabricio.
Yes.
Geller.
Yes.
Haig.
Yes.
Latvala.
Yes.
Maggard.
Yes.
McClure.
Yes.
Nixon.
Yes.
Umphrey excused. Blakin.
Yes.
Placencia. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Rommel.
Yes.
Schoaf.
Yes.
Slotsberg.
Yes.
Tomko.
Yes.
Will Height.
Yes.
Chair Angolia?
Yes.
The bill passes, sir.
Members, by your vote, show that CS for House Bill 317 reported favorably with committee substitute.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. Good morning.
Good job. All right, members, we're going to move on and take up PCS for CS for House Bill 305. I'm going to tell you in advance that we are going to take a vote at 9:25. The meeting ends at 9:30. So please, everybody, try to be as brief and concise as possible. We do have a number of amendments that we have to get through also. So, Rep. Rommel, you are recognized to explain the bill regarding insurance.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you all for showing up here bright and early on a Friday. Everybody in this room knows that there's a major property and casualty insurance problem in the state of Florida. Rates are rising between 25 and 35% every year with no end in sight. And if we don't do something, if we do not act today, rates will double in 2 years. We are having an issue here in this state attracting new companies. So one of the fastest growing insurance carriers in the state of Florida is Citizens. We have 1,100 people a day moving into the state of Florida, yet we can't attract any new insurance companies because there's an issue. This bill, the key parts of the bill are the following. Changes the time an individual can file a claim from 3 years to 2 years. It also clarifies that that claim is open until the repair is completed. So if somebody files a claim on year one, day 364, that claim will remain open until the repair is done. The bill prohibits a contractor or their unlicensed representative from soliciting a homeowner to file a roof claim or give them an incentive to file a roof claim. It prohibits a public adjuster from offering any type of incentives. It requires a homeowner to give notice to an insurance company 10 days before they file a lawsuit. It allows for a contingency fee multiplier to be used when it's rare and exceptional. Requires insurance companies to offer full replacement value to every customer. It addresses some issues with Citizens. Right now, Citizens rates are capped at no later greater than 10% per any given year, even if the market conditions said that they should go up 25 to 30%. Under this bill, those rates can go up one additional percent for an additional 5 years until the maximum rate could be raised 15% at any year. This bill also allow, if market conditions improve, to allow Citizens rates to drop. This bill addresses attorney fees. If the disputed amount is under 20% between the offer and the settlement, there are no attorney fees. If the disputed amount is between 20 and 49.99%, the attorney will receive the percentage. If the award is greater than 50% of the disputed amount, the attorney gets all the fees. Mr. Chairman, that is the bill.
Having explained the bill, members, any questions of the bill sponsor? Rep. Schlossbergen, questions?
Thank you, Chair. Okay. Section 10, Notice of Claim, beginning at lines 968 to 994. Is there a rate rollback in the bill to make sure that we pass on savings from what will surely be fewer claims?
For a response.
Thank you for that great question. Rates are controlled by OIR. There is not a rate rollback because OIR has to look at each individual carrier every year when they determine whether rates should go up or down based on their financial stability.
Follow up.
Thank you, Chair. The two New Year notice is not just limited to initial claims. So how will policyholders file a supplemental or reopen claim after this new shorter deadline? Does that apply to those types of claims?
Rep. Rommel.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman, and thank you for that great question. Initial claims have to be followed by 2 years, and all claims have to be followed by 2 years. And I think what you're asking about is we addressed that in the bill, and we clarified that if you file a bill, I mean, you file a claim, you know, anytime up to that 2 years, that claim remains open. The argument that we hear from some folks is, in the process of doing a roof, sometimes the contractor will, you know, tear off their old roof, find some rot damage or some mold damage, and then go back to the insurance company to open a supplemental claim. Under this bill, we clarify that that claim is open, so if there is additional damage from that incident, it's still an open claim and needs to be paid.
Follow up.
And is this limited to windstorm and hurricane claims, or does it apply to all property insurance claims?
For response.
Thank you, Chair. It applies to all claims.
Members, any further questions? Okay, showing none, we have a number of amendments. We're going to go straight into Amendment 1 by my favorite Gellersaurus. You are recognized to introduce the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a very simple amendment to correct what actually appears possibly to be some kind of an inadvertent drafting error. It deals with Section 1, line 114, and the entire Section 1 appears to deal with improper actions by contractors. The word contractor is used more than half a dozen times, maybe 10, in Section 1. But on line 114, three words sneak in there, or public adjuster. The amendment would remove those three words because the section doesn't deal with public adjusters. Actually, there is a Section 7 which begins at line 305. And it starts with a definition of public adjuster. And although it also does regulate some actions that contractors can't take and shouldn't be allowed to take, it's the purpose of the bill, this section, 7, deals at length with public adjusters and puts in limitations on their actions in a way that's appropriate. So that's what the bill is trying to do, and it's not as if public adjusters, any more than attorneys or anybody else, should evade regulation or scrutiny, but the public adjuster section is Section 7, beginning at line 305, and these three kind of misplaced words in Section 1, which is about contractors, should be removed because it just creates confusion. And that's the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Having explained the amendment, are any questions on the amendment? Rep. Beltran, any questions?
Thank you, Chairman. I'd just like to inquire of the bill sponsor whether this is a friendly amendment.
Rep. Rommel.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Beltran, and thank you, Representative Geller. Mr. Representative Geller is a very friendly man. And the words are not there by mistake. What that section describes, it's describing prohibited language and advertising from a contractor. And what it's stating is that a contractor can't try to induce a consumer to use a public adjuster. And that's would be a prohibited advertisement from the contractor.
Any further questions? Showing none, I do see public testimony on the amendment. Paul Hanrahan, Florida Association of Public Insurance Adjusters. Waiving in support of the amendment. I am showing no other public testimonies. Members, debate on the amendment. Showing no debate, Gellersaurus, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Very briefly, public adjusters should be regulated by everybody, like everybody else. They're regulated in Section 7, so I think those three words ought to come out, and I would urge everyone to vote up on this simple clarifying amendment.
Having closed on the amendment, all in favor of adoption of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No.
No.
Show the amendment fails. You are recognized to introduce Amendment 2.
Amendment 2 is very simple, and it follows up on the line of questioning raised by my colleague, Rep. Slosberg. It simply imposes a six-month rate freeze. If the rationale for what this bill does is to reduce rates and help consumers by keeping rates low, this simply guarantees that those savings that are supposed to be accomplished by this bill will be passed on to consumers. 6.2% happens to be what was requested by citizens as a rate hike. It was a conservative figure actuarially, although the actual hike approved was smaller. And this amendment would do nothing more than take the purported savings that this bill will achieve and be sure that they're passed on to consumers instead of just going to increase insurance company profits. And that's the amendment.
Having explained the amendment, members, any questions of the amendment sponsor? Any Rep. Beltran, any questions?
Thank you, Chairman. I'd just again like to inquire of the bill sponsor whether this is a friendly amendment.
Rep. Rommel.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Beltran, and again, Representative Geller. It is not a friendly amendment, and I want to explain why. I wish that we could put that language in there, but if Representative Geller could improve his amendment to promise over that time period, we would have no events that would cause any claims. We could guarantee a rate would be reduced. But as we all know, OIR looks at every single company every single year to determine whether rates go up or down based on their fiscal stability. And if there are some especially catastrophic losses over that time period, while we're trying to attract new carriers into the market, I would say it would be legally impossible for OIR to reduce rates.
Any further questions of the amendment sponsor? Showing none, we do have public testimony. Javier Delgado, a Florida homeowner. Make it quick, we're going to limit you to 60 seconds on the amendment.
Good morning, I'm a Florida homeowner, but also a insurance attorney, a former insurance defense attorney, and a former insurance adjuster working for insurance carriers. And there's really nothing that I feel I haven't seen in insurance claims and insurance industry. That being said, I am in support of the amendment. Where basically, the insurance carriers are asking for insurance reform. We're essentially asking to ensure that the insurance reform benefits are actually then passed down to the consumer. After all, we are actually here to help all the consumers. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I am showing no further public testimony. Members, we are in debate. Showing no debate, Galasaurus, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And while the sponsor, the bill sponsor, unfortunately, deems my amendment unfriendly, he is, of course, a very friendly fellow, and I appreciate that. I would say, though, in regard to his point, that circumstances do change, but so does the legislature. This would lock in this savings over the course of the next few years, based on current circumstances, if unfortunately there should be some catastrophic event. Since we're here all the time, we could simply come back and fix that. And if there was some catastrophic event, we could remove that cap. It's intended to apply moving forward if circumstances are as they are now. So I don't see it as problematic, and I urge you to vote up on the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Having closed on the amendment, all in favor of adoption of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, no.
No.
Show the amendment fails.
Darn.
Members, we're going to show Amendment 3 withdrawn prior to the meeting. We're going to move on to Amendment 4 by Rep. Rommel. You are recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Chairman. This is pretty much a technical amendment, but establishes...
Microphone, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. This establishes that a pre-suit notice is only to establish as evidence in a proceeding regarding attorney fees rather than for all other civil suits and alternative dispute resolutions.
Having explained the amendment, members, any questions on the amendment? Showing no questions, do we have any public testimony on the amendment? I am showing none. Members, we in debate. In debate on the amendment. Showing no debate, Rep. Rommel, you are recognized to close on the amendment.
Waive.
Having waived closed, all in favor of adoption of Amendment 4 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No.
Nay.
Show the amendment adopted. We are back. Actually, we're going to go to Amendment 5 by Rep. Rommel. You are recognized to introduce that amendment.
Thank you, Chairman. This amendment provides a cross-reference to clarify that attorney fees for property insurance litigation not involved in assignee shall be calculated under the provisions of this bill or 5-705 in Florida statute.
I'm sorry. I thought you were clarifying something. Sorry about that. Having explained the amendment, members, any questions of the amendment sponsor? Showing none, is there public testimony? I'm showing no public testimony. Members, we're in debate. In debate, showing no debate, you are recognized to close on the amendment. Rep. Rommel.
Waive.
Having waived, closed on the amendment, all in favor of adoption of Amendment 5 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
Show the amendment adopted. We are on to Amendment 6. Rep. Rommel, you are recognized
Thank you, Chairman. This is purely a technical amendment.
Having explained the amendment, members, any questions of the amendment sponsor? Showing none, public testimony, no public testimony. Members, we are in debate. Showing no debate, you are recognized to waive close on Amendment 6. Having waived close, all in favor of adoption of Amendment 6, signify by saying aye. Aye. Any opposed?
Nay.
No. Show the amendment adopted. Members, we are back on the bill as amended. Any questions on the bill as amended? Showing none. Okay, so we have a bunch of public testimony on this. I'm going to, again, ask you guys to try to limit it to about 2 minutes. I want to make sure I get as many people in as possible. If you are willing, and if you don't, and wave in support would be great, because I'm a wave in support or opposition would be great, would help. And if we have some extra time towards the end, we may be able to allot those people a little bit extra time. Okay. Joe Busby. Sir, leave the microphone on because they're going to be, leave your mask on because there's many people using that microphone. If you can, please. Thank you, sir.
Y'all must not be as deaf as I am because I can't understand anybody when they got a mask on. I'm a homeowner. I've suffered catastrophic losses with Hurricane Michael. I'm still fighting State Farm to get my house fixed. I'm not even able to live in it. That's caused me additional problems because State Farm canceled my insurance because I couldn't, on Social Security at $1,100 a month, I couldn't pay the full amount, which they demanded of $1,500 for the premium. So now my mortgage company is threatening to foreclose on me because I couldn't pay the $5,600-something insurance fee they wanted to put on it. So there is no excuse in any insurance company playing the games they have played against me in this case. I've even been through the judge, you know, the senior moment, and have been awarded an award. Has the insurance company paid anything to me? Nope. We sent the demand letter. Have we heard from it? Have we gotten anything there? No. This is months and months, 2.5 years. The damage to the home, because no one's living in it, is continuing. It's getting worse. The cost to repair it have gone out through the roof in 2.5 years. I see nothing. I've been up here testifying against this bill, I don't even know, 6-7 times. I've seen nothing that helps the consumer in this bill. Insurance companies do not pay the damages. Insurance companies only handle the money.
We're at 2 minutes, sir. Sir, I appreciate your...
Well, I'm not through. There's a lot more needs to be said.
Somebody has a question for you. Rep. Beltran, do you have a question?
Thank you, Chairman. And, sir, thank you for testifying today. I'm sorry to hear you're having a hard time with your claim. My question is simply, you said you sent a demand letter. You said you got an award. I assume you used an attorney. And I assume you didn't have any trouble retaining an attorney. Is that?
I had no trouble at all retaining an attorney, and the attorney didn't offer me anything. I've never had a public adjuster offer me anything. I've never had a contractor offer me anything.
I got a question.
Sir, hold on there. We have a couple questions for you. Again, sir, if you don't mind, wait until I recognize you to speak. We just want to make sure that we're keeping proper decorum here. Vice Chair Drake for a quick question. Members, also remember, we have a lot of speakers we have to get through.
Thank you, sir. What was the reason for denial?
You are recognized.
They sent somebody out there immediately after I reported the claim, which was just the next day after the hurricane, and he claimed that I had $13,000 worth of damage, which was so ridiculous. I lost the whole east end of the house from the bricks up, rafters and all. I don't care who you are, you can't repair that for 30, and that included the furniture and stuff on the inside that was lost. That included the trees down in the yard, the fence destroyed, my pump shed blown down completely. I mean, there was probably that much damage in the yard, not counting what happened with the roof. And I had a new metal roof on my house. It was not an old roof. So this is the problem that I see, is that they took this man, who I have no idea who he was or how qualified he was, but if he did everybody like he did me, he was not qualified. And they stuck with his. Even later, they sent another appraiser. He agreed with closely with what my contractor said it was going to cost to do it. And I had two contractors give me the same close estimate. So they got rid of him and got another one.
Understood. Member, there's a couple more questions for you. Gelosaurus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Where is your home, sir? Where
do you? Marianna. It's in a rural part of Marianna in Jackson County.
Jackson County, okay. How long had you had that same insurance company before the hurricane hit you?
36 years.
And you've been paying premiums to them for 36 years?
I sure have.
I'm going to recognize you retroactively for a series. All right.
It's catching. Thank you, Mr.
All right. Rep. Fabrizio and questions.
Sir, just one brief question. You mentioned that the insurance carrier offered you $13,000. Did that include the windstorm deductible?
For a response, you can recognize.
I assume it might have, but I can't imagine the deductible would make the difference between that and $60,000.
Rep. Beltran, any questions?
Thank you.
Members, keep it brief also.
Thank you, Chairman. I just want to know how much you've been paid so far by the insurance company and how much you're seeking, please.
For response.
It's right at $13,000.
Rep. Romo, questions. Oh, I'm sorry. How much are you seeking to continue the question? The question was, how much have you received and how much more are you seeking? Asking for.
I received that $13,000 was like a certain amount for, I don't remember exact numbers. It's been 2.5 years, but part of it was for the yard and the pump shed and the other shed that lost part of its roof and the trees and the...
Sorry, I think the question is, what was the total damage cost? From the... Rep. Beltran, restate the question for the gentleman.
The house alone, if they'd have done it at the time, was about $60,000. Now it's gone up from there.
Rep. Rommel, real quick.
Thank you. Just to clarify what Rep. Beltran was, I think Rep. Beltran, what was the total dollars you've received so far and what's your total demand?
I believe it was $13,000 received and $60,000 was the total demand. Is that accurate?
At the original time, yes.
Okay. All right. Members, we're going to move on. Thank you for your testimony, sir. Mary Ann Chavez. You are recognized.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for allowing again for me to speak today. Some of you heard my story before, so I appreciate your patience in advance while I share my story with the rest of you here. My name is Marianne Chavez, and I'm a victim of Hurricane Michael. When I initially heard the opportunity that I could speak to the House today to help protect consumers like myself who have undergone the insurance claim process, I was really motivated and still am today. If I can prevent the same struggles I had to undergo for anyone else, I hope to do so again. I'm here in person not so much to speak about the hurricane itself, but the subsequent aftermath of dealing with the process of the insurance claim while having my family uprooted and displaced for over 2 years now, still with no resolution. On October 10th, our property in Lynn Haven in Florida was struck by Hurricane Michael. My spouse and I are both active duty military. My spouse was stationed at Tyndall Air Force Base at that time, and I was relocated to Goodfellow Air Force Base just a week prior. When we both learned our property had massive damage, the first thing we did was reach out to our insurance company, Florida Peninsula. We came to quickly realize, though, however, some insurance companies don't facilitate the unique struggles for policyholders, but instead, they protect their own financial interests. The damages itself to our property where the winds were so strong, it tore a massive hole in our roof, blew out our windows, blew out our doors, ripped through the interior of the home, and destroyed most all of our personal belongings. We did have a structure still standing. However, the way I would describe it is a bullet wound. The entrance of the wound visually looks minimal. However, the internal damages are severe and fatal. Our immediate struggles, of course, where would our family live? How do we maintain balance for our children, keep up the integrity of our employment? The financial struggle of paying the mortgage and the rent all at the same time, all while trying to piece together our home without further going into debt, let alone the full-time job of the claims handling process. Instinctively, we went into survival mode. Our children were sent to live with our relatives to provide some stability, yet then my husband and I attempted to piece back together our losses. We lived in a rental house for a while, but ultimately we had to downsize to a trailer. So while we waited for the insurance company's assessment, they finally concluded damages were just shy of 50% of the property appraised value, therefore not considered a total loss of providing policy Chavez, limit. It was need, over a year Chavez, before we
I'm
were properly
sorry, I need you to wrap it up. We're over time.
Absolutely. So I just respectfully request today, on behalf of my family, like others like mine, please don't further restrict policyholders from seeking supplemental damage recovery. And just like myself, don't reduce the policy's ability to engage quality professional attorney, public insurance adjusters, assistance in these vulnerable times of need, battling like Goliath, the insurance companies.
Thank you.
Myself.
Thank you. And I just want to say thank you for serving.
Thank you.
Remember, we have to move on. We don't have enough time. I'm sorry. Thank you. Moving on, Gene Stevens himself, former public defender. And behind him is going to be Roy Cook. So if you could just stage yourself to make sure you're ready to go up. And behind that person, Emma Lee Flynn. Gene Stevens, you are recognized. 2 minutes.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity to appear here. Good morning. My name is Matthew Gene Stevens. I'm a retired assistant public defender, Second Judicial Circuit of Florida. I live in Chattahoochee, Florida. My father, Matthew James Stevens, lives there as well. At the time Hurricane Michael hit, we had 10 properties between us. On 10 properties, we had to replace 11 roofs. We had extensive damage otherwise as well. I'm here today to tell you about the experience that we had with insurance companies. I'm going to relate. We immediately filed claims on all these properties with various insurance companies. On one property, we filed a complaint. The insurance company issued a check for $26,334.84. After we had to get a public adjuster involved, we got another $7,511 for that. Another one. Initially, the insurance companies paid $5,977.13. We filed, we retained public adjuster, retained an extra $8,837.63. On another property, we filed and got $9,557.65. When we got the public adjuster, the insurance company paid
It's 20 seconds left. I need you to wrap it up.
$31,587.60. The most egregious one was an apartment across the street with policy limits of $40,000. They offered a check for $7,525.94. And when we got the public adjuster, they came across with the policy limits and got an extra
$32,474.06.
I just want to say this shows that when these adjusters are supposed to be looking at the same criteria, they come up with some way to defraud the individual homeowners.
Appreciate you coming up, sir.
Thank you.
Roy Cook. 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I'm a homeowner and policyholder, and I've identified now the chasm that exists between the powerful insurance companies and a homeowner like myself. I had a leak at my roof. I got a contractor to look at it. I paid for him to fix it, but he came down and said, you've got in excess of 25, 30% damage on your roof. You need to talk to your insurance company. I did that. I put in a claim. The claim was denied. And I'm seeking no more than $15,000 in terms of the roof repair itself to replace it. And I just think if we don't have the opportunity to get good, proper advice in our defense, then we cannot afford not only to do the repair, but also afford to pay to get that legal advice. And that is my concern that I have today.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Emily Flynn, you are up next. Behind Emily Flynn is going to be Narcissa Escano. Behind her, Jamie Glass, if you can stage, please. And just so everyone knows, when you're looking at me, I'm going to do this when there's about 30 seconds left so that everyone, because I really do not want to cut anybody off. You are recognized.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Emily Flynn Crawley. I come from Jackson County. Marianna is the city. I am testifying to, I would like to say that it is going to be very bad for homeowners if they decrease the time that we have to report damage of our homes. As my house currently sits, it is still damaged and no significant repairs have been done on my home. I have had structural damage to my home, and that has been verified by a structural engineer that was sent out by the insurance company. And still, they continue to delay, and that is a big thing that they do is delay. They sent out a check that was for about $68,000, and is well below what is going to cost to repair that, just the roof. Just the roof, it costs well over $120,000 to lift the entire structure off of there, and that's just for that. My claim is well over $273,000, yet I still cannot move out of that house. I cannot get any other rental house, and even if I did, which there are none to find there, assistant living cost would be well over before that repair could even start. And also, any other option cannot be used. That living cost cannot be used because the insurance company told me that I cannot benefit from that. So that is why we are asking assistance for this bill to not go forward, because we need your help in stopping the insurance companies to keep abusing the homeowners and the insurance process doing that.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, we have a quick question.
Guys, I cut off Geller from asking questions. We don't have time. I want to be fair. Sorry about that. Narcissa Escano.
Hello. Thank you for having me here. My name is Narcissa Escano, and I live in Tampa, Florida. This is bothering me. Voting for this bill will cause significant and immediate economic harm to the livelihood of Florida policyholders like myself. I am a 67 retired widow woman on a fixed Social Security income, and I have gone through hell and back. I have lived with dangerous mold while fighting with my home insurance company for over a year. My problem started in 2019. Okay, I got to the point that I had no other choice but to hire an adjuster and a lawyer, which I didn't want to, but I had no choice, and go through arbitration to get my claim settled. My claim was settled, but I haven't fixed my mold yet because I can't receive the funds until May. With this new proposal legislation signed, I will have never been able to fix the problem. The proposed legislation allows insurance carriers to manipulate the system and strategically underpay property damage claims. Carriers will be able to avoid paying attorney's fees and limit coverage. In addition, valid coverage will be denied due to proposed claim time frame. Thank you. Please take this into consideration. These bills will not protect only insurance companies, but not the homeowners. Please keep that in mind when you vote for this. Thank you. Please don't let us down.
Appreciate you taking the time to come up here. Jamie Glass, you are next, followed by Javier Delgado and Amy Corrado. You're recognized.
Hi, my name is Jamie Glass. I am from Panama City, and unfortunately, not only myself, but my entire family and multiple properties suffered massive damage as the result of Hurricane Michael. As our homes and our belongings and our businesses that made up our community were piled 10 feet on the side of the road, we didn't realize that the real hardship wasn't just this category historic hurricane. It was fighting insurance companies to honor the word that they promised us in their policies. We have, my parents and the home I grew up in had been paying, who's retired Air Force, paying policy premiums for 10 years, having never made a claim. And this was their forever house. My dad's retired Air Force. My mom worked hard. This was the house I grew up in, and I still currently live in now that I've come back after Hurricane Michael. And we're unable to, we're fighting insurance companies to honor their word, and that's where we come into a problem. And it's been 2.5 years, and if we look, we're finding new things wrong with our house. If this bill were to pass, it's been 2 years, they would be unable to have their policy recognized and coverage would be negated based on this bill limiting 2 years. Hurricane coverage currently is at 3 years, which is already very troublesome under catastrophes that we are currently experiencing under Hurricane Michael. All other claims are under 5 years. Limiting that to 2 years is a 60% reduction. It's not a small reduction and creates a large hardship on policy owners. This forced me to go to Merlin Law Group, seeing the damage that insurance companies have due to their policyholders, and I wanted to do something about it. So seeing my clients now having to fight this battle now, 30 months after the fact, really highlights how insurance companies treat their policyholders, that it is very much not for the policyholders' benefit, and this bill
time is up.
Does not benefit the people that it's meant to protect.
Thank you. Javier Delgado. Amy Corrado behind.
Thank you, sir.
And then Larry Bash. You're recognized.
I've been handling insurance claims for 26 years, 13 years for the insurance companies as an adjuster and a defense attorney, 13 years for the consumers. There's a serious problem with this bill. It begins on lines 1159 through 1168. Essentially, an insurance contract is written, and the words in the contract cannot be negotiated. What happens is it's called a contract of adhesion. What that means is that if there's an ambiguity in the contract or there's an issue with the wording in the contract, the courts essentially say that the ambiguity is decided in favor of the insured. That is the benefit that a consumer has when they cannot negotiate the language in a contract. If you put this language, claim duties and notice, in the law, then you will eliminate the wording to be interpreted in favor of the insured. In addition, these duties already exist in the insurance contract. The requirement to cooperate exists in the insurance contract. In addition, these duties are more restrictive than they are in the insurance contract. In the insurance contract, the insured does not have to give an accurate and up-to-date estimate. Who is going to prepare an accurate and up-to-date estimate? That is the duty of the insurance company. That is not the duty of the insured. The insured gives documents. All of these duties already exist. There's no reason to put them in the law. And if you put them in the law, you will eliminate the right of the consumer to have the contract interpreted in their favor. You're eliminating that basic right. Thank you very much, sir.
Loud voice. Oh, okay, there we go. Hi, good morning. My name is Amy Corrado. I'm an attorney at Merlin Law Group. I represent policyholders across the state of Florida. I firstly wanted to cite my appreciation to Chair Rommel for working on some of the technical issues of the bill. I hope we can continue to address further issues moving forward, but at this moment, I just want to focus on one provision of the bill since I only have 2 minutes. That provision would be the supplemental and reopened claims. These new definitions on supplemental and reopened claims create confusion and will implement problems regarding when and how to file a notice of the claim. The language in this bill is ambiguous. Logistically, defining that difference between supplemental and open doesn't work in practice, since policyholders have no knowledge of the status of their claim. This applies to all claims within the 2-year statute of limitations, which is a 60% deduction from the current 5-year statute of limitations. I know that everyone working within this committee doesn't want more litigation. That's why we're working together right now to stop that. If you do add this onto the bill, if it does pass, then it will just cause more litigation. I know that's not what we want. Thank you so much. I yield my time.
Thank you. Larry Bash, you're up next, followed by John Pappas, and then Bob Norton. If you can stage yourselves, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. My name is Larry Bash. I do work with the Merlin Law Group. I've been representing policyholders for 12 years. I'm going to direct your attention to what we oppose specifically in Section 14 of this proposed bill. The idea behind a pre-suit settlement demand is actually counterproductive. Number one, there's an obligation to promptly pay a claim. As you heard from Mr. Busby, that obligation is significant to move forward through this terrible process. We hear these stories every single day where they get upset, the insurance companies come out, they hire incompetent or unqualified adjusters right after the loss to go out to the property and lowball the consumer. We know this to be a fact because we see it time and time again. This pre-suit notice will not help the process. It will further delay the process. Specifically, when you're talking about doing a demand, the requirements that they're putting on the insured to go through and get an estimate, they use that against us down the road. This is very similar to the recent legislation that was passed for the assignment of benefits. They dismiss the lawsuits or argue we cannot supplement the claim because the estimate in the legislation requires it to be exact. So it hurts reopened claims, it hurts supplemental claims. We need to address that issue so the courts do not stick us with that final estimate. The last thing I want to talk about is attorney's fees and these demands. They're just trying to use that offer in litigation, and the admissibility of that offer is very detrimental. Settlement offers are to settle cases. The insurance company should be free to negotiate the claim, and so should the policyholders, especially when they hire counsel. It will backfire because now, whenever you're trying to admit this document pre-suit to get settlement, you're not gonna have good faith negotiations on either side. The insurance company knows that that's gonna be admitted, and so does the policyholder. So we need to remove any type of confidential settlement communications from these documents. I yield the rest of my time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. John Pappas. You have 60 seconds.
Thank you. My name is John Pappas. I'm an attorney in the state of Florida since 1982. And for over 30 years, I actually represented property insurers and visited their home offices and handled their claims pre-suit and post-suit. And I'm extremely familiar with the laws this legislature has passed with regard to property claims. And I am on record as saying that I think Florida has some of the best, most even-handed laws when it comes to property insurance claims. However, I'm here to speak against House Bill 305. In my limited time, let me point out, first problem, and it's a major problem with the bill, in my opinion, is the notice requirements do not require prejudice. In this contract, the insurance company is required to be given prompt notice. If not given prompt notice, it's a defense, but only if the insurance company could say they're prejudiced. This statute does not provide for prejudice. What does this mean? This means under the 2-year provision and the notice requirements that after 2 years, the insurance company can agree with the insured that they have $200,000 more of covered damages under the insurance contract for which they paid insurance premium, but they're not going to pay you. Second point, a major point, and given my time limit, is estoppel. I'm concerned that the pre-suit notice will be used by the carriers and the defense counsel as some sort of estoppel argument
So saying that you're limited to what you claimed in the pre-suit notice, and then a year later, 2 years later, after discovery, after everything's done, they find out, and the insurance company agrees, you got $500,000 more covered damages, but we don't have to pay you that because that was not your dollar figure in your pre-suit notice. I'm very concerned that this bill would be argued by defense counsel and the carriers that that pre-suit notice is an estoppel, and thus the carrier doesn't pay again what they even agree is covered under their insurance contract.
Sir, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bob Norton, Insurance Appraisal and Umpire Association, you are recognized. And then behind that is Matt Collette, Florida Insurance Policyholders. Behind that is Hillary Kessel. You are recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning. Good morning, committee members. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I am Robert Norton. I'm a director, one of the founders of the Insurance Appraisal and Umpire Association, IAUA. I've been in the insurance business for over 30 years. I'm a licensed independent adjuster, also a licensed general contractor. I've got significant credentials in the business. I hold the Chartered Property Casualty Underwriter, CPCU. That's similar to a CPA for accountants. I want to speak to Section 14 of the bill as currently proposed, focusing in the area that begins around line 1221. This is the area with respect to notice and the carrier's response to a suit for other than a total denial of the claim. There's language in the bill as proposed right now that places an increased focus and would likely divert cases into appraisal. And I want to help you understand what appraisal is. Appraisal is a provision in the policy that is a dispute resolution tool. It's used not for coverage disputes, but for a difference on the amount of loss. So a covered claim where there's a difference on the amount of loss, appraisal can be used where it's appropriate. When it is used, each party, the carrier and the policyholder, name an appraiser. The two appraisers picked a third party, which is a neutral called an umpire. The two appraisers work together to come up with each of their independent views for the amount of loss. If they agree, it's done. That's the amount of loss. If they don't agree, they engage the umpire. The umpire works with the two appraisers, and the agreement by any two of those three is binding. Appraisal is a good tool where appropriate, but it can be costly, it can be slow. So if we push more cases there, particularly smaller cases, it's going to be harmful to the insured. It's cost prohibitive on smaller cases or small disputes.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to get this one out of the way. Matthew Forrest, Florida Peninsula Insurance Company, waiving in opposition. Matt Collette, you are recognized. 2 minutes.
Thank you. Matthew Collette, I'm an attorney in Jacksonville. I represent business owners, homeowners with regard to insurance claims. I also did insurance defense work for about 10 years before I switched over to the good guys. I think we can all agree in this room, based on the stories we've heard from the homeowners today, when a disaster strikes and your home is destroyed, you are at the mercy of your insurance company. I don't think we need to belabor that point anymore. They testified clearly. When a roof is blown off your home, the insurance company, your policy that you purchased, is your lifeline. Okay, so these protections, the attorney fee statute, is critical to these homeowners' livelihood. Okay, this law, if it were passed at the time that Mr. Busby's claim happened, and Ms. Chavez's claim happened, the insurance company could literally ignore them the entire process, not even answer them. And then they still could not go to a court and file a lawsuit. They would still have to give the insurance company another bite at the apple with the 10-day pre-suit notice and restarting the whole process. This bill creates a labyrinth of bureaucratic checkpoints and roadblocks that prevent homeowners like Mr. Busby, Ms. Chavez, and everyone else here to hire the professionals they need. I also think we can all agree, no matter what side of the aisle you're on or where you're at with these issues in your philosophy, this bill does not simplify the process for homeowners or anyone. This bill will not make anything easier for Mr. Busby, Ms. Chavez, and anyone else who is in the middle of a disaster and they need their insurance company for a lifeline. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Hillary, excuse me, Hillary Kessel. And behind that, Alan McGinnis. And behind that, Christopher Dawson. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, members. My name is Hillary Cassell, and I'm here today on behalf of Florida Policyholders Cooperative. Let's just bring this down a little bit. Let's talk about what the basic fundamental principles of an insurance company are. They are to properly adjust, to timely adjust insurance claims. That often requires investigation, hiring of consultants, engineers, and experts in an effort to find out what happened. What this bill does is actually place that burden on our consumers. The bill as drafted allows when a claim is denied. Let's think about what that means. A denied claim means an insurance company has said they have all of the information necessary to adjust the claim, and they don't agree. They don't either agree that it's covered or they don't agree with the homeowner's presentation of the facts. Now what this bill does is require a consumer to hire an attorney, hire consultants, and present the claim in a manner to give the insurance company another opportunity, another 90 days, putting at 180 days to get to the possibility of overruling a denial. The purpose of this legislation is to de-incentivize the bad actors. I submit to you that this legislation allows the insurance companies the benefit of denying claims from the beginning, knowing now the consumer has the burden of putting together this claim, has the expense of putting together this claim, all in an effort to get their insurance company to do what they should have done from the very beginning. It gives them more time. Delay, deny, defend. We know that's what their motto is. This is going to result in large out-of-pocket expenses and doesn't de-incentivize the bad actors. Thank you.
Thank you. Alan McGinnis, a proponent of the bill. Christopher Dawson, behind that, Ken Pratt, behind that, Gary or Aaron Rosen. You're recognized, sir. 2 minutes.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much, and I'll be very brief. Chris Dawson, on behalf of the Florida Roofing and Sheet Metal Contractors Association, we're here in support of the bill today and want to thank the sponsor for his indulgence and good work with us over the course of this session on this legislation. There were two primary concerns from our members, both of which have been addressed and continue to be addressed with this language, which is the omission of the roof reimbursement schedule, which we feel like would discriminate against many forms of roofing systems that are approved under the building code. And lastly, the preservation of full replacement value for Florida's homeowners, and we appreciate the House's position on both. With that, again, to the sponsor, thank you for your open door policy, Mr. Chairman, for your assistance as well, and Chair DeSigley for his leadership on these issues. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ken Pratt, Florida Bankers. Waving in support, thank you. So next we're gonna have Aaron, behind that, Nick Ferguson, behind that, Mark Worley. You are recognized for 2 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Aaron Rosen. I'm here representing the National Association of Environmentally Responsible Mold Contractors. I understand I have 2 minutes, so I'll make this very quick. I'm gonna cover three basic items. First, I'll say that I think we speak for many or most Florida contractors when we say that HB 305 looks like a reasonable compromise from the contractor perspective. Having said that, item one. Yesterday morning, everyone here should have received a FedEx analysis from us. That analysis explains that contractors are not the devil and insurance companies are not necessarily angels. And the analysis starts with a copy of a presentation that Citizens Insurance provided to OIR stating that their managed repair program follows IICRC industry standards and appropriate state and federal laws. So therefore, there should be no problem if HB 305 puts that into writing, and we've provided some suggested language. We believe that one of the main reasons there are so many lawsuits in our Southeast Florida area is that Citizens pays for substandard work, and that results in lawsuits. They are free from bad faith claims, so bad faith claims, lawsuits and payments cannot keep them in check. Item two, very simple. In terms of HB 305 discussing contractors, we suggest you state that mold assessors are considered contractors under this bill as well. And finally, item three states that this bill lists as a prohibited property insurance practice on lines 121, 122, 123, providing an insured with an agreement authorizing repairs without providing a good faith estimate of the itemized and detailed cost of services and materials for repairs. So we simply pose the question, how might that work for an emergency service call in the middle of the night? Thank you very much. I yield the rest of my time.
Thank you, and I
appreciate
love your,
it.
I love your haircut. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nick Ferguson, an opponent of the bill, Mark Worley, an opponent of the bill, Paul Hanrahan, Florida Association of Public Insurance Adjusters, behind that, Mark Dorsten, and behind that, Ralph Chris. You were recognized for 2 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to thank Chair Rommel for all the time that he spent with me on this issue. I did just want to clarify your comments earlier about the intent of the public adjuster language. And reading it, it says that you are trying to make sure that the contractors don't induce the public adjuster from being retained. I think the public adjusters would support that. That's not how I currently read the language. So we would appreciate the opportunity to work with you just to clarify that language. Thank you.
Thank you. Mark Dorsten. Thank you, sir, for waiving. Ralph Chris. Waiving in opposition. Thank you. Robert Norton. Homeowners and public adjusters and opponents of the bill. Ron Haynes. You are recognized for 2 minutes, sir.
Yes, thank you, members of the committee. My name is Ron Haynes. I work for Christopher LaGuardia and Associates. I am a policyholder attorney throughout the state of Florida. I've also done insurance defense in my past as well, too. I'm here talking today what appears to probably primarily be important to you guys, which is the attorney's fee section of the bill. The way it currently works now under 428, or 627-428, is that we focus on what has been paid, whether that be a denial or what we allege is a short pay. The scheme of the current bill changes that because now we're focused on the disputed amount. How do we get to the disputed amount? It's what is offered, not as what is paid, versus what we claim. The reason that we find this to be an issue or a problem is because it significantly raises the bar in terms of what attorney's fees we can ultimately get if we do recover. Before, if we use Mr. Bugby's example, he was offered $13,000. That is what we would be using as the ultimate measure stick for attorney's fees. But in this case, the insurance company could come in and still have incentive to lowball, maybe offer $25,000. There is no incentive to pay. If we change this to indicate it should be what is paid, even after the 10-day notice, that would significantly change the attorney's fee issue. My concern here is focused on not my own pocket, but the pocket of the Florida insurance homeowner, right? Because if we create a system where they can no longer retain competent counsel, they're going to be stuck with, if in Mr. Busby's example, the $13,000. He can't fix his home. If he goes out and retains an attorney, the attorney can't recover the attorney's fees. He still can't repair his home. At the end of the day, the burden is going to be, and the penalty is going to be on the Florida homeowner. That's who we should be focusing on, who we should be protecting. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Tony Bostic, an opponent of the bill. Richie Kidwell, Restoration Association of Florida. You are recognized.
Thank you, and good morning. My name is Richie Kidwell. I'm the president of the Restoration Association of Florida. We represent hundreds of contractors throughout the state of Florida. Yes, sir, I'll put that on if you'd like. All right.
You're used to wearing a mask. You're in restoration, right?
That's right. An indoor environmentalist that tests surfaces for a living, and I'll tell you. Anyways, all right, that's another story. I do thank you guys for bringing this, and it is much, much different than Senate Bill 76, so I do want to thank you guys for that. Now, the solicitation part is a little bit of an overreach. When you look on what this statute states, it says that you can't solicit a homeowner that turns into, funds or proceeds from insurance. Now, what does that mean for Google? What does that mean for HomeAdvisor? Are we going to be suing HomeAdvisor or trying to put a $10,000 fine on them? You know how much I pay just to get a piece of a phone number or a lead? So I'm just saying, I mean, these things have to be, like we said, equal throughout. That's our main concern, is that I think there's going to be a lot of generalized overreach when it comes to the solicitation portion. I think we've already discussed the 3 years to 2 years. We thank you guys for keeping the supplementals available for that time and period. But those are our major concerns. I think we do need to work on the solicitation. I think that the CFO did come out with some solutions in his bill. Thank you, sir. But I do think that's something we need to work on. I think it's something we need to clarify. If Google or if Home Advisor gives us a lead, it turns into a roof job and insurance proceeds are paid, what happens? Are we seeking Home Advisor for a $10,000 fine? So I just want to see if you can make sense of that. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir. And members, just to clarify, I don't think Google or Home Advisor is offering free roofs. I think that's what that portion of the bill is going to, but thank you. Marie Allewelt. Thank God this person isn't here because I probably totally butchered her name. An opponent of the bill, Ken Schaefer. Behind Mr. Schaefer, Catherine Smith. And then Lena Duck. You are recognized for 2 minutes, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for allowing us to give testimony before you. I am Ken Schaefer. I am a homeowner in Bay County, specifically Panama City Beach, and we suffered, as a lot of people did, damage from Hurricane Michael. I'm just here to give you a brief description of what I have gone through. Our home is still being worked on to this date. This is on the beach, not even in the city. The insurance company originally sent their inspector. They gave a particular report. The insurance company disagreed with it. They sent out a second adjuster inspector. He actually found more damage. So, of course, they disagreed with it and arranged to send their engineer, their on-staff engineer, who came out and found more damage than the original two inspectors that they had sent out. They did not like what their own in-house engineer had to say. And so all of these things have been denied. Simple point is, we are spending our own money, and I'm blessed to have those means to be able to do all of this, and waiting with a public adjuster who we had to hire to go through the entire process. I'm just concerned that for a lot of people and a lot of the damage I see from other people and the anecdotal evidence from those people is that this bill will limit their time to go after or to file or to find additional things. That is the major concern of mine.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Catherine Smith, and then again, Lena Duck. Is Lena here? You're Lena? I'm sorry. So is Catherine Smith here? All right. No Catherine Smith, an opponent of the bill. Ms. Duck, you are recognized.
Thank you.
Behind Ms. Duck, Amaranis Berry, David Murray. Let's do this. Amaranis Berry, not here, waving in opposition. David Murray, not here, waving in opposition. Candace Colucci, waving in opposition. Amy Boggs. Yeah, we got you. Okay. Ms. Duck, you are right.
Thank you. My name is Lena Duck. I'm a homeowner and a realtor, so I can tell you thousands of stories, but today is my story. I would like just to take this time to appreciate what you're doing for us. It's very important for all of us. We live in Panama City Beach, Florida, at the West End, so October 10th, 2018, we thought we were spared. We thought we were lucky that we still had a house and a roof. 18 months later, we found out we had a leak inside of the windows and the sliding glass door to the pool, so we had extensive damage. We called the insurance company. They sent their adjusters, their structural engineer. They found a lot of damage amounting to more than $150,000. They denied it. They said we didn't file a claim immediately when the hurricane happened. Well, we didn't have damage. We didn't see it. We couldn't see the damage. So they started bullying us because that's what they do. They were bullies, and they denied the claim, and they said we would have to pay for all the attorney's fees and everything we had to get. We ended up getting only $30,000. That was not even enough to cover the living expenses to rent a place to live. We have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, and my 2-year-old had pneumonia due to the mold in the house. So the $30,000 they gave us wasn't even enough to cover for the living expenses. Until this day, the house is still not fixed. It's not livable. We're still paying for another place to live. So just reducing the time that we would have to file a claim to 2 years would be detrimental to anybody's ability to get their house fixed. Like I said, we didn't see any damage until 18 months after. So the fact that you can't see the damage for that time, it was going to make it really difficult on a lot of people. Like I said, I'm a realtor as well, so I have several clients that are still homeless or living on a trailer, or they had to move out of Bay County because they just couldn't fix their house. So your help is instrumental in getting this done. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Amy Boggs, Florida Justice Association. You are recognized.
Good morning, Chair. Thank you for having me. My name is Amy Boggs, and I am the chair of the property section of the Florida Justice Association. I also have the honor of representing policyholders in their uphill and long battles against insurance companies to get their claims paid. I'm also fortunate enough to represent people like Mr. Busby, and I can answer one of the questions you had, Mr. Rommel. He was Representative Rommel and Beltran. He was paid originally $13,000. He's had an appraisal award, which means not a jury, but an appraisal panel who walked the property decide that his damage is $135,000. He's been underpaid on that claim by more than $100,000. Think about that. Where do homeowners like Mr. Busby, who haven't been underpaid $5,000, $10,000, but $100,000, or like you heard, $200,000 for some folks? Representative Rommel, we appreciate the work that you have done with us on this, and we hope to continue working with you to make the bill so that it is acceptable and helps homeowners in the process. We've heard that there's an insurance crisis, that we are having to have this very dramatic legislation because there's an insurance crisis. The crisis, the real crisis, is the homeowners. Every homeowner that came up here represents another 1,000 or more at home who couldn't take off work and come up here and tell you their story. These are folks who have paid their premiums, like Mr. Busby, for 30 years. This is a contract. This isn't a free government program where they're hoping to maybe get something. And let me tell you, there is not one homeowner that hopes that they have a claim or damage to their property. They don't want to be in a lawsuit. They don't want to have a claim. They don't want to tangle with their insurance companies. They're the ones who are in crisis. And we're asking, who's going to be the hero of those folks? Who is going to help them? There is nothing in this legislation that helps them. Nothing. Okay, I understand. What are the problems with the legislation? Brand new hoops and hurdles for them to jump through. Why? Why? It feels very punitive. Is there an accusation that homeowners aren't cooperating? Thank you, I understand. We are so strongly opposed to this legislation because it will hurt homeowners. One of the biggest fallacies of this, though, is if you get 50% of your damages, you get all of your attorney's fees paid. That's not true. Read the bill. What they're saying is if the homeowner demands $100,000 and the carrier says, well, we'll pay you 50. No, they don't pay you the 50. They just say, well, we will pay you, or we might. They use that now to determine exactly what the fees are. So instead of getting 50% of your damages, in order to actually get your fees paid, you'd have to get a $75,000 recovery in that example. This is a smash and grab by the insurance industry, hoping to put enough shell game in there that you guys don't realize what you are doing is harming policyholders. And I don't believe that any of you want to do that.
I gave you a little bit more leeway and being representing FJA.
I really appreciate that.
You got that.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Members.
Any questions?
Members, we are in debate. Rep. DeSigley in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know we're pressed for time. I do have a lot to say on this issue, but I'll be very brief. I think that we do have a significant issue in this state when it comes to property insurance. I think that we have an imbalance. I think that this bill, there's a reason why we're meeting at 8 o'clock on a Friday morning with a week to go in session, because this bill, got the stakeholders together. It's not nearly a perfect product. However, I do think that it's going to stabilize the market. I do think that we're going to kind of stop the bleeding. I'm extremely concerned about, you know, the stories that we hear from the consumer. And I just want to remind the members here that, you know, we've got, you know, the plaintiff attorneys on one side, we've got the insurance companies on the other side. Let's not forget that our responsibility is to protect the consumer. I do believe this bill gets us closer to that. And again, you know, we're going to be working on this issue long past this legislative session. And Chair Rommel, Chair Ngoli, thank you for your hard work and you being a champion on this issue. I think this is definitely a big step in the right direction. Thank you.
Gelasaurus on debate.
Eye on the clock, Mr. Chair. I agree with Rep. DeSegley that there's an imbalance, but I think the problem is that the imbalance is in favor of the insurance companies, and we're tipping it further. Today we heard from a lot of average people whose lives were destroyed. Most of the folks we heard from today happen to be from the Panhandle, but tomorrow it could be Tampa, it could be Sarasota, it could be Dade or Broward. The bottom line is, consumers who've paid premiums for over 30 years, like Mr. Busby, aren't being treated right, and this bill pushes the wrong way. We need to hear these people who came to talk to us. We need to hear their problems, and we need to not make their problems worse. So I respect the work that the chair of this committee and Chair Rommel have done. I know it's a valiant effort, and yeah, you've made it better somewhat. This is a bad bill. It doesn't go and accomplish what we need to. There's not a reason in the world to say people should be held to 2 instead of 3 years. Who does that help if the problem comes up? Bad bill. Thank you.
Rep. Beltran in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to touch on quickly on a couple issues. The deductible issue. All insurance policies have deductibles. This bill says that you can't give an incentive in order to file a claim. If you give an incentive in order to file a claim, then you're basically kicking the deductible back to the homeowner in violation of the insurance contract. So that's a very good change. That's an easy one. Second thing I want to talk about is the attorney fee schedule on this bill. We listened to an hour of testimony. I didn't hear a single lawyer, and there were several lawyers, and there were a bunch of clients say that I wouldn't be able to retain counsel under this agreement and under this bill. We know that the lawyers are going to continue to do the litigation. They're going to continue to bring meritorious claims, and they're going to continue to be compensated fairly under this bill. Nobody's testified otherwise. Third thing is the settlement offers. When you're looking at the reasonableness of the litigation at the end of the litigation, and you look at that correspondence and those offers back and forth, and who was demanding what at what time and what the amounts and what the amount in dispute was, that's very reasonable information. One of the commentators said, well, people are going to bargain knowing that that's going to be scrutinized at the end. Well, that should incentivize better behavior, more modest demands by the plaintiffs, and better offers by the insurance company, and hopefully faster resolution and less litigation.
Rep. Rommel to close.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, members. I do want to thank all the homeowners that came up and told their stories. Every one of us feel horrifically horrible for any legitimate claim that's not being paid. Part of the problem is here in Florida, we need more competition. We need more carriers. And I know my time is short, so I'm going to try not to rush it because it's, you know, it's so important. Since 2000, Florida's known we had a problem in the insurance market. That's why Citizens was recreated. We couldn't get carriers to come into this state, and it was not hurricanes. After 2002, building codes made homes stronger, better, and that's not the problem. It's that we can't get carriers. I do want to go over some of the facts, too. 2 years ago, I ran the AOB bill, which for 7 or 8 years was tried to pass on the floor of the House and the Senate. It took 7 or 8 years to get it done. That passed. And some of those bad actors, while that bill was getting signed by the governor, started advertising, get your AOB claim in now before the law changes. And, you know, we sped up the implementing of that bill. Since then, people are doing AOBs. You know, there's fine. Some people want to do it, but it's not abused. In 2017, there were 27,000 property casualty lawsuits. Last year, there were 85,000 property casualty lawsuits. Florida accounts for 8% of every property casualty claim in the United States. yet we account for 77% of every single lawsuit. So either we have really bad insurance companies or we have really aggressive attorneys. I'm not a contingency fee expert, but I know in Florida there's a statute that says if you take on a case on a contingency fee, you'll get between 30 and 40% of the settlement, which would be great if that was actually the case.
Rep. Rommel, just real quick, I just want to make sure that we don't have any problems taking the vote. So without a...
Yep, got it.
Rep. Beltran makes a motion to extend the meeting by 15 minutes without objection. That is approved. You are recognized to continue to close.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So, you know, as I'm working on this bill, and I am very, very sensitive to every single Floridian that has a home, that has homeowner insurance, we have to remember that 90% of Floridians actually never, ever, ever, ever file a claim. They pay their premiums some years, but they never have a reason to file a claim. Then of those that do file a claim, 90% of the people that actually file a claim never file a lawsuit. So why are rates going up 25, 35% a year, year after year after year with no end in sight? So I actually did dig into it. I wanted to know where the money was going. We all remember Cuban Gooding Jr. and Jerry Maguire said, Jerry, show me the money. Show me where the money is. So you want to know what? I found out where the money is. Since 2013, insurance companies actually paid out $15 billion. It's $15 billion, and it's a lot of money, $15 billion. Unfortunately, out of the $15 billion, only $4.4 billion went to fix homes. That's what went to fix homes. $4.4 billion went to fix homes. The rest went to attorneys. $10.6 billion. So I don't know how do you get 30 or 40% out of $4.4 billion, but $10.6 billion went to fix homes. That's why we can't get insurance companies to get into the state. That's why Citizens has grown at 5,000 policies per week, endangering every single Floridian for higher insurance rates. Because when Citizens has a major catastrophic event, your homeowners goes up, your car insurance goes up. The state of Florida is on the hook for it. Right now, there's a contingent liability of over $100 billion for Citizens, and they have about $7 billion in the bank. We need, the only way to fix this problem is to get competition. The only way to get competition is to make sure there's a fair marketplace that when you come into the state and bring in your capital and want to sell insurance that you can actually adjust your claim, to deal with your customer. If you notice, most of us, you probably never heard of the insurance company that you actually have with. You don't see the big names, you know, that are doing policies nationwide because they're not coming here. They're not coming here because they know that they're going to get sued. And they know they're going to get sued. And, you know, there's a list of claims here, settlement claims, that to me just seem outrageous. $35,000 to repair the home, $756,000 in attorney fees. So if we want to know where the problem is, we can see it. The money's not going to the clients. It's going to attorneys. And you know what? Not all attorneys are bad. Sometimes, you know what? Bad insurance companies, they need to be sued. But not every insurance company is bad, and we need to fix this problem. We need to make sure that we have a stable market, that we can attract competition, and we can actually eventually get rid of Citizens. Because you know what? There's, I don't know of any other state that has a state-run insurance company, which it's actually wrong. I wish they never did that myself. You know, there was some things there saying that people can't, you know, won't be able to get a claim.
Rep. Rommel, I just want to remind you that we do have session on Monday. Just
okay. I know. Thank you. Thanks, sir. I know. Yeah. Okay. Most states allow people 1 year to file a claim. This is 2 years. Also, you'll still have 5 years to sue your insurance company. So for those that like to sue, we're not taking that ability away for you to go sue your insurance company. It's 5 years. And we have to do something. We can't let Citizens grow and endanger everybody. We need to attract business. We need to attract competition. And, you know, competition will make better product. We'll get better carriers. They'll fix claims better. And Floridians' rates will go down if we have a better market. And with that, I close.
Having closed on the bill, the question now occurs on PCS for CS for House Bill 305. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Drake.
Yes.
Rankin, Republican Committee Will Beltran.
Yes.
Ranking Democrat Member Silvers?
No.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brown?
No.
Daley?
No.
DeSegley?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Geller?
No.
Haig?
Yes.
Latvala?
Yes.
Maggart?
Yes.
McClure?
Yes.
Nixon?
No.
Umphrey is excused. Plakin?
Yes.
Placencia? Rodriguez?
No.
Rommel?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Slotsberg?
No.
Tomko?
Yes.
Wilhite?
No.
Chair Angolia?
Yes.
The bill passes.
Members, by your vote, show that PCS for CS for House Bill 305 reported favorably with a committee substitute. Members, I can definitively say that this will be the final commerce meeting of session. I just want to thank you all for your indulgence, your time. I think we got a lot of really good policy done this year. So on behalf of myself, I want to thank you guys for being great members, and I want to thank committee staff for all the hard work that they have done. I know how hard and how late they work. So with that,
Chairman,
showing,
before you do, I'd just like
Rep. Geller, you are recognized.
I'd just like to thank you for the way you've chaired this committee, always efficiently, always fairly. We all appreciate it.
I appreciate that, sir. So showing no further business, Rep. Geller moves that we rise without objection. The motion is adopted and we are adjourned.